refurbished since it had carried someone from Sol's system, and it would suit my needs excellently. "We'd best get you under as soon as possible," said my aide. I smiled and nodded at the man, and then allowed him to slip a hypodermic into my arm. Sleep came quickly. The last thing I remembered, just before it closed over me, was that when I woke up I would need a new name, something that no one would ever connect to Sky Houseman, but which, nonetheless, would provide me with some tangible link to the past, something that only I knew the meaning of. I thought back to the Caliuche, remembering what Norquinco had told me about the ghost ship, and I thought about the poor psychotic dolphins aboard the Santiago, of Sleek in particular, of the way his hard, leathery body had thrashed as I pushed poison into him. There had been a dolphin with the ghost ship, too. For a moment I couldn't remember its name, or even be certain that Norquinco had told me. I would find out when I woke, I thought. Find out, and use that name. Chapter 41. Refuge was a kilometre-long blackened spindle, unrelieved by exterior lights, visible only by the way it occluded background stars and the silvery spine of the Milky Way. Very few other ships were seen coming or going, and those that we saw were just as dark and anonymous as the habitat. As we vectored in, one end of the spindle opened out in four triangular segments, like the highly adapted jaw of an eyeless marine predator. Insignificant as plankton, we drifted in. The berthing chamber was just large enough to take a ship like ours. Docking clamps folded out, followed by concertina-like transfer tunnels, mating with the airlocks spaced around the equatorial belt of the ship's main sphere. "Tanner's here," I thought. From the moment we stepped into refuge, he might be on the point of killing me and anyone who got too close to our little vendetta. It wasn't something I was going to forget easily. Refuge sent armed drones into the ship, gloss-black spheroids bristling with guns and sensors, which swept us for concealed arms. Of course we'd brought none with us. Not even Yellowstone's security was sloppy enough for that. By the same token, I hoped that Tanner had also come in unarmed, but I wasn't counting on it. With Tanner, you didn't count on anything. The robots betrayed a level of technology appreciably more advanced than anything I'd encountered since my revival, with the possible exception of Zebra's furniture. Presumably, unaugmented humans were not considered a serious transmission risk, but it might have been the case that we would have been denied entry if one of us had been carrying a plague-susceptible implant. Human officials moved in once the robots had completed the preliminary work, carrying significantly less brutal-looking guns, weapons which they toted with an air of embarrassed apology. They were excessively polite, and I began to understand why. No one gets here without an invitation. We had to be treated like the honored guests that we were. "I called ahead, of course," Quirrenbach said, while we waited in the airlock for our documents to be processed. "Ryvich knows we're here." "I hope you warned him about Tanner."
"I did what I could," he said.
"What does that mean?"
"It means Tanner's definitely here. Ryvich won't have turned him away."
I was sweating as it was, worried that my fake identity would not be enough to get me into refuge. But now the sweat on my brow turned into droplets of ice. What in hell's name is he playing at?
Ryvich must feel that he and Tanner still have some business to attend to. He'll have invited him.
He's insane. Tanner might kill him just for kicks, even if his real argument's with me. Don't forget my own imperative was to complete a